This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Find the time to explore the mind of a stripper.
Then you can find the time to spend with your actual family.
Prime Time with Isaac and Sue.
Damn! What they on? All steroids and no carbs? They're the thick-ass kids.
This is Prime Time.
We're not like you. We're grown-ups.
Your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports. Here are Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanik with Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Welcome back. Nice little Thursday. It's Ropp, Souk.
Right.
And Buckley.
Yeah.
A lot of F-bombs flying.
I think Buckley now is trying to just curse more to try to prove that he's edgy. That's a Schultz-y sort of move. And Buckley, it's beneath you.
What the fuck are you talking about, man?
You know your wife doesn't let you talk like that.
We don't talk that way around the kids, but as soon as those heads hit the pillow, yeah, we do.
Do you ever, does it ever bother you when your kids cuss inappropriately? Do you ever have a thought? I mean, you don't really say anything, but you have the thought where it's like, ooh.
I'll say this. I knew my kids cursed, and I didn't care that they cursed. It was never a thing in my family where I was like, watch your mouth. They learned it by watching me. So I was always surprised that they didn't curse in front of me because I knew they cursed away from me.
So they didn't.
So there was a respect. There was a respect thing.
Yeah, Meat never did that with me.
He was just cursing for
you.
Yeah,
he just curses.
Yeah.
No. He doesn't do it bad, but.
No, my kids would always hold back. And when it first started to change where I noticed that they would curse openly in front of me, it was jarring. I was like, whoa. And it was weird because I had heard them curse when they didn't think I was around and when I could, you know, hear them in the other part of the house and or I'd hear them amongst each other. And so, yeah, there was a time when that one was kind of like, whoa.
It's always weird to hear.
Yeah.
And especially initially.
Yeah.
Just because it's your kid.
Yeah.
But for Buck and Mrs. Buck, I think it's great because we try to do that too.
Yeah.
We, you know, around Meat, you clean it up.
Sure.
You don't get sloppy drunk.
Yeah.
You just get drunk.
Yeah.
You don't cuss.
Yeah. You keep it in there. You keep it between the navigational buoys. It's like bumper bowling.
You don't show them your emotional problems.
But then
they get old enough.
Yeah.
And they start cussing. You're like, well, So what I'm getting at here is that Buck and Mrs. Buck should not expect your two boys to never cuss.
Oh, we don't.
Because you don't cuss around them.
Yeah.
Oh, and they overhear so much stuff that we don't realize they overhear.
I thought you said that you try not to.
Right.
But
we'll say something in one room thinking one of them isn't around, and then all of a sudden you hear that word later. You're like, around the corner? What was going on there?
I had no chance with Mama Ropp.
Yeah, yeah.
I was going to be a cusser.
Sure.
Yeah, she's a classic cusser.
Yeah, yeah.
And she didn't care.
Well, and my family was not. I mean, my family was was, well, still is, with the exception of me, was all Mormon. And they weren't like pristine, but there were no big cussers. I am the outlier in my family. I mean, there's people that will cuss, but I am certainly the outlier.
Isn't that interesting? You learn to cuss later in life.
Yeah, I just have always been, I've always had a foul mouth. I just always have. Like I said, I'm the outlier of my family, but if you're around my gathering, and it will bother my dad, he does not like it at all. He'll be the type that will get up and walk out of a movie if there's a bunch of cursing in it. He does not, it like offends him to his core. So I will say around my dad, I try to monitor it because I know it bothers him. So if I know you really don't like it, I'll, you know, it's not.
Could
that.
You stop cussing around me, please?
Yeah, you can kiss. You know what? No, that's not happening.
Whoa, jeez,
that whiny bitch.
Such respect for your lovely co-host.
Like my two youngers, the boy and the girl, they're just middle of the road. The eldest, boy, yeah.
I've been around her.
You think I'm bad? The stuff that comes out of her mouth.
She is her father's daughter.
Yeah, like 2.0. Like, it's, I'm the old model. Like, it's.
She makes you cringe.
Yeah, there's definitely times she said stuff, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm like, did that come from me? And then I realize it did, and I'm like, I'm sorry. I'll start apologizing. Whoever she ends up with, like, you know, and like, hey, they ask the hand in marriage, I'm just going to apologize and be like, dude, are you sure you know what you're getting yourself into? Because I'm sorry. Like, this is my fault.
All right, so I've got a story here on the SEC and the Big Ten.
Yeah.
And their potential scheduling arrangement that they're talking about.
Which everyone's pissed off about, but I think it's awesome.
I don't know why anyone would be pissed about this.
Well, because everyone feels like they're muscling everyone else out, and it's true, but...
It kind of is, but it kind of also isn't.
But it is, and at the same time, it's still awesome.
But it kind of isn't. It could be way worse. Okay, so when we come back, I'm going to tell you what they're talking about.
Yeah.
But it could be so much worse what they're wanting to do.
Absolutely.
Than what they are actually wanting to do.
That's true.
It could be so
they're
much
only
worse.
Kind of screwing everyone else over.
Well,
look,
I don't even think they're doing that.
Whatever brings me the best games,
all about you.
Well, it's anyone. If you told me on a regular basis that I'm getting Oregon and Georgia and Texas and Michigan and Ohio State and Alabama, the more you give me those games, and by the way, I played for a school that isn't part of this.
I have concepts of a plan.
And oh well, if BYU doesn't get to play any of them, but I get those other games, I'm okay with it.
All right, we'll get to that when we return on The Fan. All right, so here's what the Big Ten and the SEC are talking about, because there is this overriding fear amongst a lot of people in college football that the Big Ten and the SEC are just going to go and do their own thing.
Yeah, because there's been a couple proposals unofficially, some officially, about kind of the expanded, like 70 team, right? Like one umbrella. And the SEC and the Big Ten are like, no, we're not doing that. And so, you know, they're rejecting that everyone have a seat at the table. So every time they say no, and then they kind of come up with their own little thing, you know, rightfully so, people are suspicious that they are just, you know, inching their way to saying we don't need the rest of you.
So what they're talking about now is since you've had, what'd you have, Texas, Michigan,
yeah.
Was
the big one.
You had Oregon. You had Texas, Michigan. Oh, Alabama, Wisconsin, and Cal, or USC, LSU. That's the SEC Big Ten three non-conference games this season. All three were among the top 10 in overall viewership in the first month of the season. But, you know, it's only three games. That's not going to change the big TV deals that much. The two conferences are now saying they want to play between 12 and 20 non-conference games like that per season.
Yeah. Which, you know, I mean, that eats up all your non-con, right? I mean...
Well, most of it, because a lot of them already have rivalry games with other teams like Oregon, Oregon State, Washington State.
Well, and Clemson. And
USC plays Notre Dame.
Yeah, Clemson, South Carolina, and, you know, Florida, and, you know, Miami, places like
Florida,
that.
Florida State.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I don't know. Like, to me, I just feel like that could be way worse because they'll make a bunch of money off of that, and it's going to change scheduling.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I just think that's kind of mundane in the whole in the grand scheme of things. Now, I'm not saying that doesn't lead to the eventual exit of the SEC in the Big Ten and all these other schools are left behind, but I don't, I mean, that deal that they're talking about makes sense. Like, yes. that's going to be better for everyone in college football. It's going to get more eyes on college football.
Yeah.
Of course, they make a ton more money, but, you know, look, they're losing a bunch of revenue from this settlement with the House. Mm-hmm. It's like $2 billion, right, to former players or something?
Yep.
You got to come up with new revenue streams, and this is a very simple and easy way to do it. It also makes college football more fun for the fans, so everybody wins.
Yeah. Well, not everyone wins because there are people that get left out, and that's just the way this goes.
Well, there's people that make less money, but again, sure. I go back to the same theme, and that they've always made less money. Now, exactly. The gap is going to be getting wider, but that's on the ACC schools or the Big 12 schools or the Group of Five schools to come up with more ways to get bigger TV deals.
If the ACC and the Big 12 and the Mountain West and the Pac-12, if you don't like the way things are going, and if you're waiting around for someone at one of the other two conferences to throw you a lifeline, I don't know what to tell you, man. Like, your dad walked out on you years ago, and you keep waiting for him to show up for your birthday and tell you that you're loved and welcome back to the family. It's not happening. You got to be the hero of your own story here. You got to start finding a way to dig your way out. You know, if you're the ACC and the Big 12 and all that, you got to come up with your own and get rid of boring ass games and have your best play the other team's best, right? If you no longer get a crack at the Big 10 and the SEC schools, you got to find a way to drum up some interest, or like you said, private equity, or figure it out. It's just the way it's going. And the only thing you can do to this is hope that the SEC and the Big Ten don't decide to just cut ties. Because the scariest thing is if those schools and those two conferences raid, if they got eight other schools, if they ended up taking that and they ended up raiding Clemson, Notre Dame, boy, you probably don't even need eight, right? Florida State, Miami. Is there anyone else? They don't need BYU. They don't need Utah.
There's not that many left.
I mean, maybe you take Utah for more of a West Coast presence. Maybe if you wanted to grab Cal or Stanford again for a West Coast, you had some more out there. But you would have to grab less than 10 extra teams, right? You're grabbing 6 to 8 teams. And at that point, you are college football. You can do whatever you want. And then maybe you throw some scraps at what's ever left and say they get a spot or two in a college football playoff, and we're not going to play anyone other than us. We're going to have our own TV deal. That's the scary part. You know, everyone keeps talking about these expanded like 70 team things and everyone having a place at the table. That's not going to happen. The much more likely one is what I talked about, is where the SEC and the Big Ten eventually just get together and be like, yeah, we'll grab a couple more and then we'll do our own thing. And everyone else, yeah, you get to be a part of it. You know, we'll give one or two spots, but we're not going to play you. We're not going to share our money with you, and you'll get a sliver of the playoff money, and here you go.
Well, they kind of do that now, though.
I know, but not really. But
they do, because they're because eight of their, well, who plays nine? Does the SEC play nine?
The SEC plays, well, no, the SEC conference plays eight.
The Big Ten plays nine.
Yeah.
But they'll probably get that uniform. They'll probably both go to eight so that they can play more of these types of games.
Yeah.
But they, so 75% of their schedule is playing the other teams in their league. So then they add, you know, playing each other for one, probably each.
Yeah.
Then you have the rivalry games. There's really only one other game on their schedule that's for a patsy or for a, you know, a team from another league that isn't a huge game.
But they still haven't kneecapped the others yet.
I think what it would be, it would just be they play all these games against one another. Maybe they split off at, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But the play, once they get to the playoff, is when they meet all the other teams that are still playing in whatever, the Big 12 or whatever, whatever other league there is.
But I guess my point is the Big 12,
which is kind of true now.
The Big 12 and the ACC still have an automatic place at the table. They still have opportunities to get multiple teams in. They can still play those games. They're still in the conversation. And if the SEC and the Big 10 wanted to, they wouldn't. So as much as it sucks, I think in some ways you need to be, I'm not saying grateful is the right word, just as bad as it is, it's still somewhat fortunate that they haven't tried to go full on coup yet. That they've, you know, that they're still trying to keep this thing together. And as much as I like the new era of college football and expanded playoff and these sorts of bigger games, I still would like to keep some sort of regionality in college football. I want to see the Big 12, and I want to see the ACC, and I want to see the Mountain West and the Pac 12. I want to see some form of that.
I don't think those are going away. I mean, they're not going to stop playing football. I think the biggest thing is you talked about coup. The verbiage here is very important because the last thing the Big Ten and the SEC want, as a matter of fact, it says it in this article that I'm reading here from USA Today, is that when they met to talk about the scheduling arrangement, they brought in a bunch of lawyers.
Yeah.
The last thing that they want is the old C word to come up.
Yep, collusion.
Collusion.
Yep.
And that, because it could get really ugly, like you're talking about, if they do want to peel off on their own, it could get really ugly legally, and they may not even be able to win that battle.
Yeah, you never know.
So
it behooves everyone to play nice.
Exactly. That's why I don't think they're going to go down that road. I think I really feel it. I've always felt that whatever college football looks like in God knows how many years, 10 years, 20 years, whatever it is, these schools all across the country are still going to be playing football.
Yeah.
I'm very
it's
confident.
Just not going to be the different, the way that you grew up watching it.
Yeah.
And I know that's hard and people hate change, but give them an opportunity to actually make it really good for the viewer. And this story we're presenting about the Big Ten and the SEC non-conference scheduling arrangement is going to make it really good for the viewer. There's just so much fear out there because it's unknown what it's going to look like. Yeah. Think about the idea that it may be way better and way better for everyone. Who knows? Maybe eventually they get into some sort of rev share type of situation where the other schools like the Oregon States and Washington States get a little cut of the money. So you just don't know.
No, you don't know.
And that's why people get so scared and they get in their own head about what could be coming.
Yeah.
It's probably going to be great for the sport.
But it's also why, as someone points out, Oregon and Washington were willing to take partial shares and why SMU was, it's like, you're doing everything you can to try to get on a lifeboat while you can because it's pulling in one direction and you want a seat at the table. And
well, and those were smart.
Yeah, smart moves.
Very prudent moves
by
Oregon and Washington. Yeah. Not everybody had that opportunity.
No, they did not.
And of course they should have taken those deals.
Everyone
but that have. Also doesn't mean that if they didn't take those deals or if the Pac-12 were still together, any of that matters.
No.
It doesn't mean that they are safe and no one else is. Yeah. At this point, that feels that way. Yeah. But this thing is changing so rapidly that no one knows what this is going to look like in 10 or 20 years or however long it takes.
Gosh, it could be two or three. You just don't know.
But it could be shorter than that. It's just, I just feel like the bottom line is, if you play football, at like Kansas State's a great example. They have a passionate fan base. They're in the Big 12. Or Boise State, passionate fan base, not even in a Power 4. Yeah. I don't feel like those programs are going away.
Yeah.
They want to play football. They're into it. It's and it may not be all programs. Maybe there is some sort of thinning of the herd of programs that was it Tulane a couple years? Not Tulane. It was UAB.
Alabama, Birmingham.
A couple years ago, who said, "Dad, do we really want to do football? Do we really want to commit to football?"
But they came back,
and they're back. Exactly, they're back. So I feel like it's all gonna work out. It's optimism, I know, and I can't really point to anything as to like.
Yeah, you just have a belief in it.
Yes,
I get it.
I just feel like it matters too much on these campuses, even Oregon State and Washington State, who are the two in the worst position at this point. I still feel like, and I've been saying all along, that they're gonna. It just you care enough that it's gonna work out. Yeah. It may not look like the way you want it or the way it used to, but you're gonna be playing football.
Yeah.
And that's the fun part.
And despite anyone bitching about it, you've said this a million times. The numbers bear it out. These games, more people are watching. So,
I mean, it's not even close. Like, how much more interesting is college football this year by just having Georgia play Alabama 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago and Oregon play Ohio State and LSU play USC?
And Texas playing Georgia tomorrow.
And Texas playing Georgia.
Saturday.
Yes, and that's a league game. But how much better is college? It doesn't take that many games to get us on the hook.
Nope, it does not. And the numbers bear it out. People are tuning in. Some people may be upset about it, but millions more are tuning in. So it is, numbers don't lie. Big eye in the sky, don't lie.
But the lawsuit thing is that's a very real thing. The Big Ten and the SEC do have to be quite careful.
Absolutely, because no one wants it to be litigated.
All right, coming up next. Oh, We're already in the news.
We are.
Do you guys like ITN?
I love
ITN. I'm
going
to bring you some news. I have the Arctic Fox follow-up to the follow-up.
I need the follow-up to the follow-up.
Because remember, the Arctic Fox.
Yeah, I was skeptical.
You thought it was a dog. It wasn't. It was an Arctic Fox, as they said.
Idiot.
And they caught the Arctic Fox.
Moron.
And now the follow-up to the follow-up is that we may have the Arctic Fox's owner.
Oh,
ooh.
That son of a bitch.
Wait, so it's not wild? It has an owner?
Nope.
Of course it's not wild. It didn't hitchhike here from Alaska.
Well, I mean, okay. Yeah,
it has an owner? Yes, it has an owner.
Buckley just admitted he's coming down on you a little hard, but I do this all the time.
That was above board.
I know. I do this all the time where I'm like, why did I even say that? That was dumb. It's okay. But Suk will, of course, feel it.
I didn't think he had it as a pet, but like, could somebody have brought it there wild?
I'd come hard because I didn't believe it was an
Arctic
Fox.
Well, you always do that. Yeah, see, he's always deflecting.
That's right.
The thing that we need, Buckley, is you always just need to just drop back to the fact that he went to Mexico City
and
ate at Chili's.
That's right. I'll tell you what, those tendies slapped.
Just throw that right back at them.
So good.
There's no way they were that good.
Here's Buck with sports.
Oh, you're wrong.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah.
Since you told me about this, I'm not gonna lie, there's been at least a half a dozen times where I'm just cruising around and this pops into my head and I hate you.
Well, it's not my fault.
It is your fault.
Why?
I was not aware that this existed until the other day when you referenced it and then we had to play it.
I think we have an overlay here. Hold on. Let me try something. Keep that playing, will you? Real quick. What the fuck, say?
That's the remix.
Oh my god, you could do something with that. What the
fuck, say? Yeah. Except it almost sounds like what the F say, and that throws me. Like, what?
Ooh. What does the Fox say? It is October 17, 2024. It's time now for In the News. I'm your noted newsman. Hello. Thank you. This is brought to you by the Advocates Injury Attorneys at advocateslaw.com. Today is Mulligan Day.
Oh, like on the old golf course? Or is it?
I don't know if there's another. Like, what else is.
Is that where the term mulligan came from?
Oh, mulligan is a stew made from odds and ends of food.
Really?
Not that.
Then where did we get mulligan from golf?
Good question.
Huh. I don't know. I've never thought about mulligan.
Well, don't take mulligan.
The most widely accepted story is that David Mulligan, a golfer at St. Lambert Country Club in Montreal in the turn of the century, took an extra shot after a poor drive. Mulligan called it a correction shot, but his playing partners thought it was more fitting to name it after him.
Mm.
So there you go. David Mulligan.
So he was shamed and he had to wear that forever. Boy, that sucks.
I think it's kind of great. You're like, listen here, you son of a bitch.
I'm going to hit another one.
You out there taking mulligans?
Yeah, I mean, it's not necessarily a derogatory term at all.
No.
But it's also, I mean, I don't know that I'd want to be named after or named for that, you know? Mm.
Yeah, and I don't.
And mulligans are fine. Yeah. Like if you're just out goofing off and you don't have a game or you're not in a tournament, who cares?
It is tough if you're playing with the dude though, and he's got I'll accept the breakfast ball, the 7:30. You haven't warmed up, but it's like hole 9, and my man takes and you're like, really? Like, yeah.
Well, there's no such thing as a breakfast ball to me. But I get it. Like, if you're just out goofing off and you're playing on your own, or there's no money on the line or no tournament, you're not even keeping. Who cares?
Exactly. Just
hit as many balls as you want, but not in my games. You ain't getting a mulligan.
Rob takes it seriously.
You're going down.
Oh, gosh.
I'm not giving you a second shot.
Super serious golfer.
Because the second guy is always way better.
Oh, yeah.
It's also National Pasta Day.
Don't eat a lot of pasta, but, I got nothing against it.
So we have the Arctic. Okay, so that's why Buck played that song.
Yeah.
What does the fox say?
Mm-hmm.
What does the Arctic fox say? If only he could talk.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, she.
She, right? Yeah. It was gorgeous. Pretty little fox.
Yeah, the Arctic fox found stranded, hungry, and dehydrated in Portland on October 12th, the one we talked about here on this program.
Is the fox, by the way, the sexiest animal simply because we use foxy as a term for attractive people?
What is the sexiest animal?
Well, I mean, no one's like, man, did you see that hippo as a compliment?
You know what I think the sexiest animal is? I'm being serious.
Yeah.
I think it's the horse. I think horses are beautiful.
They're very majestic.
Yeah, they're awesome.
Yeah. I would say majestic, but I don't know if beautiful.
Sexy. You said sexy.
Sexy, yeah.
To me, it's the horse.
I'm going with like a jungle cat.
Ooh.
When you see
are pretty.
Like a panther.
Yeah. The jaguar and like when you like it's all that.
Pretty
like,
sexy.
In the jungle.
Very sultry.
Pretty sexy.
Yeah,
smell a poll question.
sexiest animal. It's going to get uncomfortable. Who was it? Was it Lynch that had his ex-wife had a shark thing?
That's right.
Yeah,
right?
The shark's shark theme wedding.
Yeah, his wife would get his wife got a little worked up, ex-wife, over sharks, like which I find you want to talk about a weird kink. Like, you were like watching
bestiality.
Well, just watching Jaws and that gets you all hot and bothered. It's weird.
Well, anyway,
continue with your sexy fox story.
Portland resident Kendra Berger told Coin6 News that. She took a photo. She spotted a woman in Lincoln City last month who was leading the Arctic fox around on a leash.
Yeah, you can't do that. That's a no-no.
So Ms. Berger took a photo of the couple.
Yeah.
And they're trying to put two and two together here. Bird Alliance of Oregon spokesperson. I don't know why she's involved.
I think that's the second. There was another time with a Bird Alliance. We've done a Bird Alliance story.
Yeah, they get their hands in there.
They deal in the exotic trade?
I guess. Spokesperson Ali Berman said that the animal seen in the photos appears to be the same fox currently in the organization's care.
That bothers me.
It's a couple. It's a woman and a man.
Yeah.
And they're walking around Lincoln City, and they're just there's a bunch of people around. You know, it looks like a really nice day, and there's a bunch of people around, and they're just leading that stupid Arctic fox around on a leash, like a dog.
And this is the part that bothers me. No one wants an exotic pet more than I do, but they're not pets, and you can't treat them as such. And that's just.
Do you think they were going to eat it?
They're eating the pets. I don't know. Just and then it gets away, and the dog it can't fend for itself.
They're eating the dog.
It's so bad. I'm glad that the Bird Society, though, is involved. Why?
Bird Alliance.
Bird Alliance. There is an exotic bird shop on Division Street. If anyone knows what you're talking about, it's not in the best part of town. And it looks like it looks like someone just took an old rundown house and then they slapped up a sign that says exotic birds. And the shadiest people you've ever seen are always going in and out of that place. I want to, like... Is the exotic bird trade just code for you can buy whatever you want?
Listen, in the era of Chewy and Amazon and things like that, I think most pet stores are just money laundering fronts these days.
Is that? Yeah.
I mean, that might be painting with broad strokes, but...
Once in a while, I drive by, because I drive by the place almost every day, and I'm always like, oh my God, look at that thing. And then occasionally I see people going in, and I'm like, there's zero chance that person's going in to buy an exotic bird. Like, what is happening
exactly.
here?
Exactly.
They're eating the dogs.
I think that's where you get Arctic foxes and probably, whatever else you're looking for.
They're also eating the pets.
Tremendous swing and a miss by us, the sexiest animal.
He's going to go get him one of those Milwaukee butter hugs.
Milwaukee butter hug. Or at least a butter hug.
I don't know that they're that sexy. It's just...
Well, that was a thought for the Vancouver Report text line.
Yeah, there's plenty of them and they're doable. They'll do in a pinch.
It's called the Thursday night girlfriend.
Well, they're saying any investigation into the ownership, the fox's ownership, would be conducted by the Oregon Department of Agriculture. And they are currently working with the Bird Alliance of Oregon to place the Arctic fox in a zoo.
I love that the Bird Alliance is involved. It just, it makes that story that
this
much
might
better.
Be their Super Bowl.
This
how does
is.
That, how does that affect the Birds Aren't Real contingent?
Yeah. What? I want the Bird Alliance to look into that weird exotic bird shop off of Division. Someone look into what's going on over there, because I promise you, it's not good for the birds.
What's more of a thing, exotic birds or typewriters?
Ooh.
Because I have a typewriter store I drive by.
Yeah, typewriters are like, that's a big antique thing. You know, Tom Hanks is a big typewriter guy.
No, I know. That's why I asked. Because exotic birds are a thing. Like, yeah. I mean, I told the story of my father-in-law who killed his bird by starting the dryer when it was in it. Like, he didn't do it on purpose.
Why was the bird in the dryer?
Well, it liked to hang out in there clothes. Well, it's actually a really smart bird. It's just
apparently the
clothes are nice and warm or whatever in there, and so the bird went in there. He didn't know it was in there, and he fried his own bird.
Boy, that's rough.
It's totally rough.
That's rough.
God.
And yet, why are we laughing?
Well, it's kind of funny. Well. I'm not gonna lie. When I heard it, I at first laughed, and then went, "Oh, that's awful, honey. Yeah. How's he doing?
Okay, not well." Not well.
But anyway.
It's traumatic.
The typewriter store, I drive by it. It's on Barber.
Yeah.
Sometimes. And there's never anyone in there. And I remember John Kroger, the former
Attorney General.
Attorney General who used to come on our show. He said the telltale sign that a something's place up. Is yeah. running money through it and it's not what it's supposed to, is that no one's ever coming in and out of it.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, I've never seen anyone go in and out of that typewriter store. And I get typewriters are a thing, but so are exotic birds.
Well, here's the thing. You know, next Monday when we're back, I need you to go into the typewriter store. I'll go into the bird
hut. Dude, I ain't going in there.
And we'll see what's up.
I might get murdered. I don't know what's going on in there. What if the exotic bird store is a typewriter store?
Yeah.
And the typewriter store is an exotic bird store.
Yeah, the typewriters, they're both doing black market underground sales of each other, what they're each other are advertising.
And we just stumbled upon it.
I'm sure if I walked into the bird hut, there's going to be a parrot or two. But what I want is, like, if I slipped, like, $100 across the table, and I'd be like, so what else you got? what's in the back? Does it, like... Does $100 get me into the bowels of the bird hut? Because I feel like there's stuff going on.
If you just come with like a stack of cash and you say, can you hook me up?
Yeah.
Like, what comes back in return?
Yeah, and the person's like, well, what kind of bird are you looking for? And I just stare at him. I'm like, yes.
Slide him a little more money. Can you hook me up? And then you find out.
Vancouver Vortex on. I feel like Dee Reynolds is the president of the Bird Alliance, and that's the real reason she was in Oregon last weekend.
Nailed it.
It's a great text.
All right, coming up next, Canby Rabbit Lady loses her home and job over stolen rabbits. This is in the news on The Fan. Well, we have a ball game.
Yes, we do.
Aaron Judge just hit an Oppo Taco 2-run home run off Emmanuel Clase, the Guardians closer, and it is tied 3-3 in the eighth.
Mm-hmm.
How about that?
Yeah, it was one of those. We talked about it the other day. He hit kind of a meaningless home run. It was like, God, if that guy gets going.
Don't let him get going.
He was dreadful, and I'm like, if he gets going.
That was a bullet.
Yeah, it barely cleared the fence. It was, you know.
This is a good time to remind you that Emmanuel Clase had a .6 ERA this year.
Yeah.
0.6.
Yep.
And he's given up 2 postseason home runs.
Yeah. It's not good.
This is in the news, October 17, 2024. I've got Canby Rabbit Lady news.
Oh.
Down in Canby.
There's rabbit ladies, huh?
Yeah. Well, she's got like 20 rabbits.
Again, who buys rabbits? Like,
this woman.
There are so many rabbits. I see.
And if you just let them hang out with each other, won't they just make more rabbits?
She had
them in separate cages.
I'm not exaggerating when I tell you, on a day-to-day basis, when I walk my dog, I see 10 rabbits. They're everywhere. Who would pay for it?
She likes pet rabbits. She has the rabbits.
Are there wild rabbits and pet rabbits?
Yeah, the wild ones will rip your face off.
Is there a difference? It's like Monty Python. Is there a difference between a wild rabbit and a pet rabbit? Like, they're just a rabbit.
Yeah, there's not domesticated.
One was rabbits. Born in the wild, the other was not, yeah, maybe.
But I don't think it's much different. Like, they'll let you hold them.
Yeah, if you go
up...
They're more
skittish, but...
Yeah, if I just lured a rabbit over with some treats and then picked it up and then eventually just brought, like...
Pet rabbit.
I got a pet rabbit.
I think.
I'm going to get in the pet rabbit trade. If there's money in it, because there are so many damn rabbits, it's ridiculous.
Well, this, see your pet trading license.
This woman's name is... Oh, no!
Oh, boy.
Oh, no!
Got another one.
Oh, my God, Stanton!
That guy sucks, Rob.
He's terrible!
He can't hit. You're not afraid of him at all.
I'm so glad that he's on their team every time he comes up.
You know, the Royals actually might have been good.
Yeah, they gave him a run, right? And
that Royals-Yankees series was pretty close. Yeah. Yankees are dominating now. Freaking they're up 4-3.
Stanton turning it on. Judge turning it on.
Look at him dance around like those...
Bunch of New York ninnies.
Well, anyway, her name is Melissa Zielinski.
Okay.
And she had noticed... there's a lot of red flags here. Okay. So she lives in Canby. She's got like 20 rabbits, okay? Yeah. Maybe even more. And she said over years of time, mm-hmm. she has noticed rabbits missing from their cages. And she didn't know what to do. So, yeah, over years.
What? Okay.
So... Then she started noticing things had been kind of moved mm-hmm. around in her backyard. By the way, her backyard looks exactly like you would think.
Of course.
Okay. There's a lot of stuff.
Yeah. You're telling me that she has 20 random rabbits and it's a bit cluttered? Oh, my gosh. You could have seen that.
So she went to the police, but they said they needed more evidence. So she finally installs surveillance cameras. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't long after she installs surveillance cameras that all of a sudden... a woman appears in the evening on the camera.
I thought it was going to be Chupacabra. And turns out it's just a noisy neighbor bothering her.
Well, she was creeping around the rabbit
cages,
shelters, hideout,
sanctuary. I don't know.
Yeah, trying to get past the locked gates. And then another night, she's seen bagging what appears to be rabbits into some sort of purse. She's getting the rabbits.
Is she eating the pets?
She might be eating the pets. Yeah. It's possible.
They're eating the pets.
Fatal Attraction, right? She boils the rabbit.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, New York dining, fine dining, it's rabbits.
So then the thief, mm-hmm. did not bother to hide her face. And Zielinski says, oh my God, I know her. She recognized her.
I'll be damned.
She said she met her once, and the thief's name is Bridie Olinger. Mm. And she met her outside her own home where Olinger claimed to be picking blackberries. Zielinski even invited her to see the rabbits.
Huh.
And then...
That's led to the rabbit thievery.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she invited her back. Hey, look at my rabbits. And then the lady was like, I like those rabbits. Those are going to be
my
rabbits.
And she started stealing the rabbits.
Yeah.
But this took... this is months and years.
That's so weird. All right.
So now...
That's the end of it?
That's it.
Did we know why she was stealing the rabbits? She just wanted the pet rabbits again because rabbits are so hard to come by.
I don't know, but they do have Olinger, and she has been charged. She's not like in jail. Mm-hmm. But
can you go to jail for stealing rabbits?
I doubt it.
Yeah, put him in jail.
What if I stole a dog? If I showed up and stole your dog, what kind of trouble do I get in? You know.
Yeah.
I don't feel like we take animal crimes that seriously.
They're eating the dogs.
Again, I don't understand why you would steal someone's rabbits when. Again, rabbits seem like the easiest. If you had to say there was one animal that would be the easiest to get your hand on, wouldn't it be a rabbit?
Yeah, I mean, it's weird.
Yeah.
At one point, the woman dropped her phone in the yard. So she's a terrible thief.
Oh, my gosh.
But anyway, the end of the story is that Zielinski, the rabbit owner, mm-hmm. she lost her job and her home due to all of this. She said her landlord was fed up with the constant thefts and police always being there. So she said she was more worried about the rabbits, so she didn't care about that. And so he kicked her out. And then she got fired because she didn't have the money. So,
boy. So this lady's whole...
How do poorly handle rabbit thievery 101?
So she lost her everything because...
She should write a book.
Of rabbits.
Yeah. Mm. If people are wondering... Does she get the rabbits back? I don't know.
Well, and if she does, where is she going to put them? She's homeless.
Well, I'm sure she lives somewhere. Yeah. But She doesn't live there anymore.
Well, here's the thing, by the way. If you're who, by the way, what rental property lets you have 20 rabbits?
This is a house. It was just a house.
Well, I know, but most of the time you rent houses, there's stipulations there.
Yeah.
20 rabbits.
I mean, I used to have a rental, and I would
with 20 rabbits.
No, but I would. First of all, people are freaking weird.
Oh yeah.
But if they came to me and said, "Hey, I want to get a rabbit," I'd be like, "Sure, no problem."
Yeah.
But then if I went over there and saw 20, I would be like that landlord. Be like, "Hey, what is going on?
Let's get out of here.
You have rabbits and the police are always over here." I don't know which I hate more.
I just can't believe someone called the police on rabbits. Well, hope it was worth it.
Well, they were her rabbits. They were stolen.
Yeah. They're eating the pets.
You certainly can't do that. It's just, I don't know, the whole thing, the whole story is...
It's a strange story.
How she handled that is so weird.
Yeah.
It sounds like she could have just gone out there and talked to the lady. Be like, "Hey, stop stealing my rabbits.
You do it anymore, you're gonna have problems.
You want your phone back? Here, I'll give you your phone back if you stop stealing my rabbits, or I'm gonna call the cops."
How much is your iPhone worth versus how much is a rabbit? Let's see how much a rabbit costs.
I'll trade you your iPhone for my rabbits back.
We're gonna see how much.
Deal's done.
Oh my gosh.
50 cents. $20?
Expect to pay $10 to $20 for a rabbit from a pet store. And $5 to $10 for a rabbit from a rescue.
Well, play stupid games, win stupid prizes, and here we are.
Dude, you're stealing a rabbit? You can go... They say if you go to the 4-H Club, you can get one basically for whatever donation you want to donate. Oh, for God's sakes. Well, really, hey, lady? You're stealing a rabbit?
Well, the thief saved a couple hundred bucks if you just say they're $10. They're
$5.
Well, if you say they're $10 a piece, $200. She doesn't have that kind of money.
What is happening?
I'd rather take it and get charged. You know she ain't going to jail, so.
Dude, that's like stealing a hamster. For God's sakes.
You can have the hamster.
Exactly.
Yeah, put him in jail.
That's in the news. October 17, 2024. The Hot 5 at 5 is next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.